You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your personal presence to deal with us, our Father. Our Lord, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you very much. So we're counting on you to do what you must do, that we would have the benefits and the blessing, and that we would be able to be in the place to rightly honor you on your day. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you remember, as we looked at, reminding you in the Gospel of John, as we proceed, in John chapter 1, God is introduced in a most wonderful way. And God is introduced as God in the light of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So of all the different books of the Bible, the Gospel of John, written near the end, 100 A.D., is written in order that he might, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is going to tell us that Jesus Christ is God. Clearly, in 21 chapters, he's God. And therefore, as we began, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, so here's God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, and therefore, in their wonderful harmonious agreement to send and be born in Bethlehem of Judea and be a wonderful Savior, the only God and the only Savior, that God would get all the glory and God would get all the honor. So therefore, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Lord Jesus, in his God the Son, in his wonderful, wonderful person, entered the perfect humanity, the incarnate Son, humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he became the God-man. And God entered into his humanity in a most awesome way. And the purpose of that, we were created, remember, in the image and likeness of God, sliding down to verse 18. And no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, the inwards of the Father, hath declared him, made him, explained him. How can we understand the infinite, invisible God? By God the Son. God the Son is going to make clear God's wonderful person. Now, hang on over to chapter 14. God's going to make clear, how can we understand, we're in his presence, God, the invisible God, who has no dimension, there's nothing outside of God, everything is inside of God, all the trillions of stars are inside of God. Everything. So, galaxies, I should say. Now, in the light of all that, God, you understand how are we going to deal with you when we're limited in our earthly limitation to what we can see and comprehend. Chapter 14, our Lord became flesh and dwelt among us, and in the process, remember now, the disciples had spent 3 1/3 years with him. And so therefore, he has hoped of all the different people, they certainly had the advantage of knowing him. And therefore, and they were in his awesome presence 3 1/2 years. But, 3 1/3 years, but they just couldn't grab the awesomeness because they had, using our illustration for good or bad, They were all radios, and they were all had AM. They all could communicate AM very easy everywhere. AM's easy because we're humans. Humans can talk to humans, etc. And we do that. And we were given not only body, soul, and spirit, because God is spirit, so that we can know God and honor God. Well, until we know the Lord as our Savior, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:12, as my personal Savior, then God gives me spiritual birth, body, soul, spirit. My spirit becomes alive and well and functional in a wonderful way in relating my person to God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples weren't ready for AM. They had AM. They did not have FM, as it were. The Lord did, but they didn't. So with all the talk and all the things that have, I am the way, the truth, and the life is certainly clear in AM. But it's quite different in FM. And they got the AM part, and they could all say, I know the Bible, I know about this, I know about that, I can quote John 3:16, AM. But I can't do it FM. Now, so God is helping them, remember. So in chapter 14, picking up in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, it satisfies us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10. Now, having said that, I understand God in the flesh making himself known. Now, there's only one Savior, one Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not 10 of them, there's not 12 of them, just one. Only one God and only one Savior. Now, the only one Savior, born in Bethlehem of Judea, 3.5 years in a very public, awesome ministry. Everyone should know, but they didn't know. And Christ came to die for the sin of the world, etc., etc. Now, so they had to wait for that event. But in the process, the only evidence he's going to show in this time, think of what we're doing in 6 o'clock, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, etc., etc. Now, so here in this time of grace, God, what do you aren't clobbering us? No, it's all held back, and you're letting it, all of it's there, waiting to be given expression. But you're holding it back, and you're showing grace. What are you doing? Remember, you all these, John chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, Matthew chapter 12, I should say, verse 38 to 40. The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, belly of the great fish, in the heart of the earth. So shall I, the Son of Man, be. Rise again. And the only sign I'm going to give is the sign of Jonah. Christ is going to be crucified, and the third day, he's going to rise again. And now, 500 saw him. Wow. Now, God, you're going to give it more expression? I am. And I'm going to go and take whosoever's. There's Israel, there's the saved, John the Baptist, there's all of this, but I'm going to do now something to show my grace, to show the magnificence of my wonderful saving plan. I'm going to take whosoever's and have them enjoy a unique relationship to me in a most awesome way, so that God, will show yourself in Christ, in them. So you're going to evidence your wonderful person in a human heart that you save, and you're going to evidence what? That I am in them. It isn't that they're super big, good, bad, much, little. It isn't about that. No, it's not about that. It's about God showing that God saves us in an awesome way, and we're going to show God. That's why the same works that I do, greater, you're going to do more. Because it's the same me, the Lord Jesus, it's the same me showing myself. It isn't someone different. They're my works. Therefore, John chapter 15. And we shared the branch. The branches have to be the same. We had the different branches, and won't do it at this point. And all the different branches, and you have them. But the pear branch belongs to a pear tree, and the peach tree, and the apple tree, and the vine, grapevine, belongs to a grapevine. And our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and they are grapevines. They are grape branches. They are with God, even though they aren't. Acts chapter 2 hasn't happened yet, like the day of Pentecost, but they are committed all the way to the cross. They are committed. And therefore, we shared chapter 15, verse 3, now you are clean. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we did all of that in detail, so we don't have. And we spent detail in verse 4 and verse 5 because it's the way. It is the way the believer is supposed to function. It is the way the believer has life. The believer is of the same kind. You're going to be like me. You aren't a different. We're flesh. But what does God do? God bought us with a price, and he is gone in his most wonderful way and is changing us right now. God sees us in his Son right now. If he doesn't, you're not saved. He sees us in his Son, the vine. Vine, Christ, Christ. They belong together. The same. That's why you're clean. You can abide in me. I can't take any old branch. I just take clean ones. People that have allowed me to save them and to make them like myself. Therefore, having said that and doing all the awesome things in this section that we can't even touch. Chapter 15, verse 4. Adding, if I may, directly. We review a little bit all the time. But if I don't review them, we're talking about stuff that is absolutely out of this world. And you can hear it, you could even write a little poem about it. But to know the reality that you are no more your own, you are being changed into his image and likeness right now. And God sees you saved, not in the stuff you see in the mirror. God sees you saved in his Son. That's why you're saved. A new creature in Christ. That's how God sees you. Wow. Now, therefore, adding, I try to get something done before the Lord comes. You know, all these wonderful things. Now, John chapter 4, 15, verse 4. Abide in me and abide in you, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now, having said that, verse 4, would you please notice, as the branch cannot bear, it is not able, the word can, dunamis, able to be of power, to be able, ability. Wow. The branch cannot bear fruit, except it abide. It has capability. The branch has capability, but it can't do it without me. And we're changed. I have to understand that, so I'm looking to God. Verse 4 again. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, vine, no more can, there's your little verb, to be able, to have power, ability, to abide. No more can you except you abide in me. So, God, we can't be what the wonderful thing that we are apart from you. We can't be a new creature in Christ apart from you. Now, remember the branch is of the same kind. So our Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, was the vehicle, the vessel for God to show himself. God saves whosoever's that would believe, and the whosoever's that believe become a vessel for God to show himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the vessel, and he shared all of the awesome flowing, the fullness of the sap of the life. He shared it in his perfect humanity. And the believing heart needs to understand that. For without me, you're not able to do it. And I make possible that you experientially, do you know, people were afraid of that years ago. They don't even know it today. To have an understand, you ought to be knowing God. We aren't talking about it, you ought to be knowing him. It isn't a guessing game. I know you a little bit, you know me a little bit. We're to know God. It's an awesome thing. Now, to catch that, get it to your head and heart, help you. Now, able, you got that? You cannot, you're not able, you don't have any power to produce, to enjoy being saved. How's that? To enjoy being a vine, a branch, and to enjoy the life of God in a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week arrangement. Now, therefore, go with me, please, to look, if we can, at our Lord himself. Now, remember now, without turning there at the moment, in Acts chapter, well, we will turn there just to do so. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, picking up, please. And in verse 8, but I want you to catch it in connecting to what we just did in John chapter 14. Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power. See the word power? That is the word C-A-N, can, able, power, dynamite, dynamic, dynamis. All those D's in our English language come from this. Wow, power, that's right. And what are you going to do, God? Well, if we abide, we can't do it without you, God, right? Therefore, Acts 1:8, the day of Pentecost coming up, you shall receive power, ability, you'll be able to do it, after what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You can't do it until then. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, comes and makes a believer able to have the wonderful life that God meant it to have. The Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, vine, and the branch are the same, and the branch is going to enjoy being a vine, being part of the vine. What am I saying? I'm saved. The believer says, I'm saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. He's my life. I'm part of him. He's part of me. We're called, he even says it, you're called brethren. Wow. You're telling me that? I am, he said. Now, therefore, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, having said that a little bit, I am the vine. So how the vine is going to show it? The vine is going to show in the branch God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fullness, God's wonderful, wonderful life. And it thus, the wonderful fullness and the wonderful life is going to end up showing itself in fruit. And the fruitfulness of the fruit is coming from the root, from God, And the fruit is about God. Remember Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's God. What's coming out of them? God. What's going to show up? Not human. We already are that. God's going to show up. God's changing the life, our thinking, our language, our everything, and our whole world is understanding. We have a relationship. We all had a relationship to our parents in some form, and we have that. Well, we have one to our one greater than our parents. We have one to God the Father in a most awesome way, in God the Son. In God the Son, we have a relationship to God the Father as sons. Well, now, therefore, with that little bit in mind, and now, keep in mind, John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, keep in mind, and picking up in verse 32, God is glorified. I'll read verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." He's going out to the cross. Verse 32, "If God be glorified in him," God in Christ, "God shall also glorify him," Christ, "in himself, and straightway glorify him." So it's a wonderful, the vine is going to show itself in the branch. The branch is going to show itself in the vine. If you look at the vine, I have the branch down here, grapevine, if I took it out. And here's the grapevine, and here's the branch. And they match. They match. They're the same. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that, you're going to do that. I am. Now, God, you're going to do it in a most awesome way. You're going to glorify yourself. Uh-huh, I am. Now, God, you're going to do that in your Son. I am. Now, let me see how that works. In Christ, my Savior, you received him as your Savior. Then, God that went to the cross and lived public ministry for over 3 years, He represented him, and we're to do just like he did. Now, how can that be? Because he understood he cannot, apart from God, do it. He had to abide. He had to rest in God. Now, a little bit to help over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. And what we're doing now is looking at the verb dunamis, dynamite, power, ability. We're looking at it. I just want to say it because he said, you can't have ability, power, without me. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that happen. It isn't a trick. It makes it happen. Chapter 19, remember our Lord now, when his disciples, looking at a little word, in verse 25, when his disciples heard, if they were exceedingly, who can be saved, exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men, this is impossible. No one can save. No one can save anybody. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. All we can do is funerals, go to funerals, and hear the people say, oh, we'll see them in heaven, or we can have all that, you know. We'll miss them, and we do all those things. But that's all we do. We can't do anything. But we talk about it and feel good about it and go out the door, you know, till we die. Well, now, so, God, here we are. Look at verse 20. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Without me, you can do nothing. So all things, here's the little word, all can, possible, ability, power. All things are possible. Sliding over, if you can, to chapter 26. I went on and said, all things are possible. Without me, you can do nothing. Matthew chapter 26. And 26, if I can. Picking up, please, in verse 39. 26 and 39. In the upper room, out in the garden. And you'll notice, please, in verse 39, and he missed in the Jesus Christ in the garden before his crucifixion. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, there's your little word, ability, can, ability, possibility, power. And the little word if, it's in first class, means since, in this case, since. Since it's able, it's quite able to what? I'll read it that way. Since it is able, since it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, God, could you just eliminate Christ going to the cross? Absolutely. God can do whatever he wants. And God, Christ doesn't have to go to the cross. He could just go back home. And does God know that? Absolutely. I know you could stop it. I know. In his perfect humanity, talking to God. Now, and therefore, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Because after all, God, that's what it's all about. So I'm going to slide over to verse 42. Verse 42. And in verse 42, and he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And here's the little word if again, and here's the possibility again. If it's possible. It may not pass, it may not happen. The first if, verse 39, is a positive if. It can happen. In this one, in verse 42, if, and it can happen, you must go to the cross. You must go. It's all about you going to the cross. If it's possible, but it isn't. It isn't possible. You have to go to the cross. Wow. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and the pass away. Over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 5. And following this thought, this theme, understand the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity was able to do and to be in everything and were to follow suit as he did. And chapter 5, picking up on our Lord again, crucifixion, and you'll notice, please, chapter 5, and picking up, please, in verse 7, 5 and 7. And picking up, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able, there's your little word, was able to save him from death, was heard, and that he feared. Now God, if it's, remember we just read it, verse 42, if it's possible, but it isn't. Nope, you got to go to the cross. And did God hear the prayer? Absolutely. Our Lord is in the garden. He heard the prayer. And he feared. God, you know what you're doing in his perfect humanity. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Now over, if you would please, to chapter 7. In chapter 7, picking up please, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able, there's your little word, can, power, ability, ableness. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to the very end, forever. To the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he's always going to be there. He's always the great high priest. That's why you're going to slide over now in the light of chapter 7, over to verse 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is made, verse 16, who is made not after the law a priest, not after the law of a carnal fleshly commandment, but after the power, the ability, the wonderful, wonderful power and ability of an endless life. For he tested. Why is that? Because how can God do something? What happens when God gets old? God gets tired. God gets distracted. No. He's able to save you because he lives. Verse 17. He has the power of an endless life. And he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You're a wonderful, wonderful Savior, and you never stop saving. You never stop saving. No, no, I don't. Nope. Never, 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 never. Nope. Able to save. The Lord Jesus, do without turning there, John chapter 15, verse 4. Without me, you can't do it. It won't happen. You can't. You've got to have me involved. If I'm not involved, nothing's going to happen. And all the wonderful things we read, and truths and promises and awesome. None of it can work without me. What do you mean? And our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly did everything that we're supposed to do. Hang on. So that he trusted God in everything in order that he could do anything. Why could he do anything? Because God can do anything. That's why. Now, or if you would please, in the light of that, endless life, an endless life. Over to John chapter 5. John and chapter 5. And if I can, we read it. I'm going to pick up, please, in verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself what? Equal with God. He said he was God. See? The man, born in Bethlehem, Judea. Stepfather Joseph, his brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters. Wow. He's born. That's right. He's God. Uh-huh. In his perfect humanity, God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Now, having said that, verse 19, a perfect example. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do how much? Nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, allowed God to be God in his life, and that's what he did. And he didn't do anything without God. He said, I can do nothing without God. Verse 30, I can do of mine own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create humans. God didn't create the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God didn't do that for the fun of it, for heaven to have a Mary. He wanted God. Why did he create us? Do it better. In his image and likeness, Genesis 1:26. Why did he do that? To show himself. He didn't do that to show us. You aren't in this funny body with the hands and feet and toes and everything. You aren't in this body to be a creature. I suppose if you wanted to really get involved, we'd have to go to Lucifer and angels and God. You could certainly do something. You could do beautiful flowers. Why couldn't we be like a beautiful flower? No, because he made us think of 2 Corinthians 4. He made us with vessels of clay.
earthen vessels. Why did you do that? 2 Corinthians 4. That I might be God in them. And it's not about them. They're in an earthen vessel. It's about God. It's not about them. About your health, your wealth, coming and going. No, it isn't about that. It's about God. It's about God. That's right. People don't know that. No! Pride reaches out. Wow. So, therefore, God, you make it very clear that without you, without the Father, you can do nothing at all. That's right. And while you're here and you know, oh, you're familiar with it, chapter 8, all those wonderful statements, one after another, God says it to make it very, 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 very clear. John chapter 8. And you would recall, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. And God, why did you save? Why did you create him? In order that he might represent God the Father. John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what are you going to do with us believers? I'm going to show who I am. That's what I'm going to do. And John's going to, well, here, you might as well turn there, you all know it. John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up the thought, in verse 18, in the light of it all, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. As I was sent, you are sent. Not you're sent in some special way. That I'll send you one way, I'll send you another way, I'll send you another way, I'll send you to India, Africa, whatever. No, no. As I was sent, you are all sent the same way I am. I do nothing of myself. I am the vine and you are the branch. And you are to abide in me. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And when you're abiding, you can do what? Everything I can do. And I can do everything in you that I want to do. That's what it is. I'm going to work out my wonderful will, which we shared 1,000 times, before the foundation of the earth, before you were ever created, God's awesome plan for your life. I'm going to work that out. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. We're all different. Think of Sunday school. We're all different in all different ways. But God, you're going to work it out. That's right. Now, having said that, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So it isn't, you can't just sit down and have a little mission program. No, you have to understand. If you're going to be sent, you're going to be sent just like he is. And you're going to have to, John chapter 4 and 5, you're going to have to abide. And if you don't abide, nothing's going to happen. Zero. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing's going to happen. And our Lord Jesus said it in his perfect humanity. If I don't abide, I can't do anything. Heal the woman. Change the water. I can't. I can't do it. It isn't about me, he said. It's about him. It isn't about you. It's about him. Isn't it? Now, it's true we'll all die and you have a little stone born and die, and you can do all of that, and have a little picture, remember, a little picture of what you used to be, look like, and do all that, but that's done. It's done. It isn't about now. It isn't about that. It's about God taking a vessel of clay and taking and doing the wonderful thing he had in mind in the first place, to be your God, to show his wonderful person. And he didn't make us like a carrot. He didn't make us like a tomato. He didn't make us like a kangaroo. He didn't make us like a rat. He made us like his son. Body, soul, spirit. Hebrews 2. And he will put on a body like of flesh and blood, just like the Jewish people had. He had one just like, that is just like us. A body just like us, without sin. For what? For God to be God. And once you catch on to that, it isn't about your job and your work and your family and your, what do you got, a little thing, you have a little thing coming up and you have all the good things. No, it isn't about that. It's about the minute you get saved, you have life. You're to enjoy the life that God gives you. Starting when? Right off. And you enjoy it. And all you can do is when you say it to us, when we die, he says what? He tells you, absent from the body what? And present with the Lord. All I'm going to do is transfer you. I'm going to get rid of the body and do something else. That's what I'm going to do. It isn't about anything else. So I want to learn. When do you start doing it? Now. When are you supposed to live? Now. When are you supposed to abide? Now. So you can do whatever. That's right. So whatever we do, whatever we do. Over, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you'll notice, wonderful, God says, he hasn't chosen any of the things that people would want to do. In verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. What for? To confound the wise. They say, well, that boy, that God, there's nothing in that. God said, wrong. Yeah, you need to look for what God's looking for. And God's looking for life. God's looking for his wonderful life, outworked in a boy, a girl, man, a woman. Wow. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base, low things of the world, the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, things to bring to naught, things that are, to make it all useless when they're all done. And they become a great big football player, a great big something, and you're there. And wow. And then you're older. And then you die. Now what? It was a blip, wasn't it? Here I am. Yay! And you can say that about anything you want. My marriage, my kids, my whatever. Say it. Yay! All disappears. Doesn't count. But we counted on it. You counted on the wrong thing. You have a long journey. And what you need is life for that long journey. And if you don't have life, you can't make it in the long journey. You just can't do it. It's the way it is. Wow. Now, so, therefore, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's right. That's right. So God, without me, you can do nothing. It isn't about your flesh. It isn't about your wisdom. It isn't about your talent. It isn't about your whatever. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about him. To honor him. That's what it's about. And do you know how simple that is and wonderful that is? And we get all caught up and we're trying to be us. And who are you? I know you're all wonderful. I don't take that away from you. Well, what are we? What are we? Well, we used to be able to do this and used to be able to do that. And now we can't do anything. All of it's gone. All of it's memory. And our memory goes to boot. So we can't even remember the things we thought we were good at. They're all gone. Disappear. Yay, they're all gone. Well, it's so important. No, it isn't important. It needs to be responsible in it, but it isn't important. Now, no flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ, Jesus, verse 30, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God, we're the vine, we're like him, vine, branch, the vine and the branch match each other. And what are we doing? Where's our wisdom? In Christ. Where's our righteousness? In Christ. Where's our power? In Christ. Where is it? It's in Christ. It's because we're like him. Otherwise, we couldn't even attempt it. And since we're like him, the branches need to abide. There's no sense in attaching yourself to a pear tree or to a maple tree. You're a believer. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Congregationalist. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Muslim. No. No, forget that. You're a believer. Attach yourself as a believer. Otherwise, you're trying to look, and here's a Methodist. I was a Methodist, so that. And there you are. And you're whatever you are. What are you? Are you a Congregationalist? Uh-huh, yeah. Say, well, I'm a Methodist. See? No. No, that's stupidity. Pride. Stupidness. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with a wonderful, wonderful outworking that Christ is everything. And we're attached. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Wow. Wow. Now, and having said that a little bit, you can do it all kinds of different ways, you know. All kinds of ways to do it. We need to abide. We need to enjoy God in a most wonderful way. Now, let me try two things quickly. Over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We mentioned it, but I want to show it. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, may I pick up directly in thought. I'll read up in verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts when we received the Lord as our Savior. To give the light in the light of our darkness, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So that it's all about and exposing us to God's wonderful person. How can we understand God's wonderful person? In the face of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. That's why. So I can understand him. And verse 7. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, ability, may be of God and not of us. So God, it isn't supposed to be about us or anything. No, without me, you can do nothing. You can't abide. If you don't abide, nothing's going to happen. You can't do it. Not going to happen. And therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians in chapter 12. And picking up in thought, going, if I can, to verse 8. Remember, Paul had physical things, and you have to have them because part of being part of the part of Adam and Eve, and having a sin nature, and all part of our humanness. We all share those things. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. That it might be departed. Now, God, make this go away. And God said, no. You know, sometime I could, just like that. But if it isn't my will, so Paul, and it wasn't God's will for Paul, no, sir. Therefore, Paul, how did you get encouraged and hang in there? Because, verse 9, he said unto me, God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I got the word strength and the word power, power, power. God, so God, it wasn't about your problem, your weaknesses, no. We mentioned that in Sunday school. No, it's about God. And God takes each vessel in the light of everything that belonged to that person, in the light of the human history. They have inherited it. It's part of the system. And God takes all those different humans and demonstrates his wonderful grace. This human over here, this human over here, this human over here. God takes them, each one, in their conditions, their circumstances, and glorifies himself. That's what he's doing, glorifying himself. Wow. Wow. That's what you're doing. Uh-huh. And God, Paul, what did you think of that idea? God said, listen, you got all those physical things, you got all those, that physical problem. Mm-hmm, I do, he said. But what do you think that I'm going to use that for my honor and glory? What do you think about that? Do you like that? Oh, no. No. Ah. No, Paul, you aren't that stupid. No, sir. Paul said thus, verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in anything, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I find I'm very strong. And when I found I couldn't, I found I could. And I had a heart. You ever seen, they had the handicap thing out there, the Olympics or something. And the people have handicaps. And do you know what? They get their teeth and do it. And do you know what? Isn't that more encouraging? Here's this guy here, this guy's 20 feet tall. And he can run 27 miles in 27 minutes. I mean, I got to tell you, a mile a minute, so big steps. And in the process, here he goes down the corridor of time. Whoa! But when you see the little kid with no legs making it, doesn't that catch your attention, huh? Not the big guy, the little guy. God, you allow all those different things in us to bring out of us. And God said, is my strength, is my will for your life sufficient to believe me? And Paul said, absolutely. What do you think? Without me, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to abide. I'm abide. No, you got to abide. Abide. Locked in. I'm here we are. No, this way. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And we thank you very much for loving us. We thank you for watching over us, for understanding us, God, and bearing us long before being angry. God, thank you very, very, very much. All of it's going to be just like you said it's going to be, because you said it and you make it all happen, and it has to be according to your will. You're the only God and the only Savior. So God, do that which you do so marvelously and help us. God, you know how self-centered we are. So God, you got to help us in every way. Thank you very much for Calvary's cross, that we can reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.